It is 5 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Ray Kugel reporting. President Obama delivered his annual State of the Union address Tuesday night before a joint session of Congress and the American people. His primary focus was the nation's economy. Mr. Obama called for measures to help middle-class Americans and emphasized a desire to see the U.S. build the most competitive economy anywhere. Mr. Obama also said American leadership around the world is working.
We stand united with people around the world who've been targeted by terrorists, from a school in Pakistan to the streets of Paris. We will continue to hunt down terrorists and dismantle their networks, and we reserve the right to act unilaterally, as we have done relentlessly since I took office, to take out terrorists who pose a direct threat to us and our allies.
President Obama said he will not let Congress reverse the nation's progress against climate change, calling the challenge the greatest threat in the world to future generations. Republican U.S. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa gave the Republican Party response. The first-term senator said the new Congress controlled by her party will have a renewed focus on addressing the concerns of Americans with initiatives targeting job creation and repealing President Obama's landmark health care law.
Americans have been hurting, but when we demanded solutions too often, Washington responded with the same stale mindset that led to failed policies like Obamacare. It's a mindset that gave us political talking points, not serious solutions. That's why the new Republican majority you elected started by reforming Congress to make it function again.
Senator Ernst, elected in November, said the new Congress will also work on ways to prevent cyber attacks and to confront Iran's nuclear ambitions. This is VOA News. Houthi rebels in Yemen attacked the president's home Tuesday in Sana'a. The Shiite militiamen clashed with security forces, breaking a ceasefire agreed to on Monday after 9 people were killed in the capital. Rebel leader Abdul Malik al-Houthi says his faction is seeking an end to corruption and totalitarianism in the country. The U.S. Justice Department says 2 Yemeni nationals have been charged with conspiracy to murder American citizens abroad and provide material support to al-Qaeda. A complaint and arrest warrant unsealed Tuesday in U.S. District Court in New York City accused the 2 men of helping a U.S. citizen gain entry into al-Qaeda in order for him to fight U.S. troops in Afghanistan and U.S. citizens at home. Voters in Zambia cast ballots Tuesday in an election to replace late President Michael Sata, who died in October. There are 11 candidates on the ballot. The winner will serve the remaining year and a half of the 5-year term Mr. Sata earned when he was elected president in 2011. An election for a new presidential term is scheduled for next year. The World Bank says the economic impact of the Ebola epidemic on African economies will be lower than expected. A bank report says Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone will lose at least $1.6 billion this year in economic growth due to Ebola, while losses for the rest of sub-Saharan Africa could be as low as $500 million. The International Monetary Fund trimmed its global economic forecast for this year, with its chief economist saying the world faces strong and complex cross-currents. Speaking in Beijing Tuesday, Olivier Blanchard said the world's economy is expected to grow slightly faster this year than it did last, despite weaker predictions for much of the world.
Some of our largest downward revisions are actually elsewhere. They are in emerging markets, in particular in sub-Saharan Africa, in the Commonwealth of Independent States, CIS, and in Latin America.
Mr. Blanchard says a sharp decline in oil prices is helping major economies and import oil, but damaging those like Russia and Nigeria that oil export. Police in southern France have arrested 5 Chechens on suspicion of planning an attack. The arrest took place in the city of Montpellier in the town of Béziers. Ukraine claimed Tuesday that Russian forces attacked its military units fighting separatists in eastern Ukraine's Luhansk region. A military spokesman said that in violation of all prior agreements, Ukrainian forces were attacked by Russian armed forces in the northern part of the zone of the anti-terrorist operation. He also said heavy fighting was ongoing around 2 Ukrainian military checkpoints, but the government forces had stopped the advance of the Russian troops. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Partey in Washington. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, and here are some of the stories we are covering. President Barack Obama Tuesday delivered his annual State of the Union speech.
Tonight, after a breakthrough year for America, our economy is growing and creating jobs at the fastest pace since 1999.
We'll have the Africa perspective on the president's speech. There were new clashes Tuesday between Cameroon's military and Boko Haram insurgents. Former prisoners in Kenya seek redemption through work. And African countries are seen as vital in the fight against Ebola.
One of the biggest contributions the African nations have made are doctors. It's not easy for people to decide to come and fight Ebola right where they could get infected.
Fatoumata Lejun Kaba is the spokesperson for the UN mission for Ebola emergency response and new threats against Zimbabwe's remaining white commercial farmers. Those stories plus Mark Omar Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. U.S. President Barack Obama Tuesday night delivered his next-to-last State of the Union speech. Mr. Obama is facing a new Congress dominated by opposition Republicans, but he is starting his seventh year as the American leader at a time when public surveys show he is riding a new wave of popularity as the U.S. economy continues its surge. The president highlighted the improvement in the U.S. economy.
We are 15 years into this new century. 15 years that dawned with terror touching our shores, that unfolded with a new generation fighting two long and costly wars, that saw a vicious recession spread across our nation and the world. It has been and still is a hard time for many. But tonight, we turn the page. Tonight, after a breakthrough year for America, our economy is growing and creating jobs at the fastest pace since 1999.
Mr. Obama praised American troops, scientists, doctors, and healthcare workers for their role in helping to roll back Ebola in West Africa.
In West Africa, our troops, our scientists, our doctors, our nurses, our healthcare workers are rolling back Ebola, saving countless lives and stopping the spread of disease. I could not be prouder of them. And I thank this Congress for your bipartisan support of their efforts. But the job is not yet done, and the world needs to use this lesson to build a more effective global effort to prevent the spread of future pandemics. Invest in smart development and eradicate extreme poverty.
On the 50th anniversary this year of the march from Selma to Montgomery to push for black voting rights, President Barack Obama called on Congress to help reform America's criminal justice system to serve all Americans. Joining us for some Africa perspective and analysis of President Obama's State of the Union speech is Ambassador Johnny Carson, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs in the Obama administration and currently with the United States Institute of Peace.
I think the U.S. has been a strong partner across Africa in helping to combat violent extremism in places like Somalia and also against Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and Mali. In Somalia, the United States government has been a strong financial and technical partner to AMISOM and the states who comprise that African military force, primarily Uganda, Burundi, Djibouti, Kenya, and also Ethiopia. The U.S. has provided financial assistance to those governments, has provided training and equipment to those governments, and has worked with them very closely as they have effectively degraded and dispersed and substantially weakened Al-Shabaab in Somalia. And I think it's been a very successful partnership between the U.S. And other countries in working with AMISOM and the African Union there. In Mali, against Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, the U.S. Has been a strong partner in working with ECOWAS and with the French in helping to provide financial assistance, logistics, information, and transport in support of that that effort. And as a whole, the United States has developed assistance in working in partnership with the countries in West Africa in the Trans-Sahara counterterrorism effort, and also in an East African counterterrorism effort. So the U.S. has been a partner in the effort in helping those countries fight violent extremism, and will probably continue to do so.
Ambassador Johnny Carlson is the former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs in the Obama administration and currently with the United States Institute of Peace. He was speaking with me from Washington, D.C. There were heavy clashes Tuesday between Cameroon's military and Boko Haram militants near the border with Nigeria. The new fighting came as Nigeria and its regional neighbors, including Chad, Niger, and Cameroon, met Tuesday in Niger's capital, Niamey, to plan a strategy against the Islamist fighters. Cameroon's Minister of Communication, Issa Chiroma Bakari, says unless a united front emerges from the Niamey summit, Boko Haram will continue to kill innocent people and occupy sovereign territories with impunity.
There has been a clash between our army and Boko Haram insurgents. This is not surprising at all, given the fact that they continue to have the initiative. They are the ones who decide at any given time what will be their next target, when will they trigger the process, the logistics that has to be involved, the arm which they will use. So it is not surprising, for as long as very effective measures involving all the parties is not in place, from time to time and day in, day out, it is possible to hear about Boko Haram misdeeds.
The last time we spoke with you, Mr. Minister, you had mentioned that your country needed a broader international support. There's a meeting of regional countries taking place in Niamey, Niger. Is your country represented, and what would you like to see coming out of that meeting?
Well, my country was represented indeed. The Minister of Defense, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the high-profile military were involved in this meeting. We are in the front line. What results do we expect from this meeting? Well, just to raise, to uplift the awareness of the members, of the people who were summoned, who were invited to be part of this meeting. They have to understand that Boko Haram is not a transitory phenomenon. Boko Haram is something which will last, which will spread, and will invade all the countries neighboring Nigeria. This has to be understood. And in the meeting which has started yesterday and which will continue, what we are looking forward to receiving or to understanding is that all of them understood the need to come together, to collect their means, to conceive a military blueprint, which will move gradually, but to move until they reach the Boko Haram hideouts in the forest, to dislodge them and to put them out of service. For as long as this such a decision hasn't been taken, we will continue to hear about Boko Haram, maybe not always in Cameroon. So what we are looking forward to hearing and receiving is that in Niamey, they took this and that resolution, and the international community decided to support and to assist them in the best way possible.
The last time we talked, you had said it was impossible for Boko Haram to have military bases in your country. Now, with the latest fighting, do you still believe that?
It did not change, and it will never, ever change. It is possible from time to time to cross the border, to enter into Cameroon, because it is impossible to have a contingent, a troop, in every 5 or 10 kilometers. It is impossible, and in no country such a thing can take place. But whenever there is an aggression, whenever a village is stormed by them, so soon as the alert is made, then the military take the necessary measures to go there and to chase them out.
Issa Chiroma Bakari is Cameroon's Minister of Communication and Government spokesman. He was speaking with me from the capital, Yaoundé. Sub-Saharan African countries have made relatively small but vitally important contributions towards the fight against Ebola. This includes sending much-needed healthcare workers and medical supplies, as well as dedicating already limited resources towards prevention and surveillance measures within their own borders to stop the further spread of the disease. Jennifer Lazuta has more from VOA's West Africa Bureau in Dakar.
More than 850 doctors and nurses from African countries have been deployed to Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone to help bring an end to West Africa's Ebola outbreak, which has killed more than 8,500 people since it began nearly a year ago. African countries have also collectively donated tens of millions of dollars in financial aid and material resources. UN Mission for Ebola Emergency Response spokesperson Fatemata Lejeune-Kaba.
One of the biggest contributions the African nations have made are doctors. And it's not easy for people to decide to come and fight Ebola right where they could get infected. It's all good to have all kinds of facilities, to send labs, to send ambulances. Those are very important in the fight against Ebola, but you also need people to bury the dead, to dig the graves, to make the contacts. And those who are the forefront doing that are the nationals themselves.
The African Union's support to Ebola in West Africa says they plan to deploy at least 1,000 volunteers and health workers from African countries. The Director of Social Affairs for the African Union, Olawale Mayugan, said the response by Africans in the fight against Ebola has been tremendous.
There's been a lot of what we call African solidarity and Africa, you know, helping Africa, and it should not go unnoticed. Remember, Africa itself, we do not have enough of health, human resources for it. So to recruit 1,000 volunteers has been a huge challenge. What cannot put a price on is the human resources. It's the most valuable resources. It's helping us to fight Ebola.
Many countries have also contributed in ways that cannot necessarily be price tagged. Senegal, for example, opened a humanitarian corridor to allow for the movement of people and supplies into and out of the affected countries. Ghana serves as a logistics hub and headquarters for the UN mission. Kaba says other West African countries, particularly those that neighbor the most affected countries, have since spent money on putting in place border control surveillance, launching Ebola public awareness campaigns, training health workers, and pre-positioning supplies.
So that's one of the major contributions from the African countries. There are also the countries involved themselves that have devoted part of their budgets to the fight against Ebola. And this is at the expense of other investments that they would have made in their countries if the Ebola outbreak had not taken place.
In November, more than 60 local African businesses pledged $28.5 million to fight Ebola. Ethiopia launched a campaign in December that allows individuals from the private sector, who are not doctors or nurses but want to help, to donate towards Ebola response via SMS. Burundi, Chad, the Central African Republic, Ghana, Kenya, Lesotho, Senegal, Tanzania, Zambia, and Zimbabwe have similar programs. Jennifer Lazuta for VOA News, Dakar.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. And today is Wednesday, January 21st. I'm James Butte in Washington, and please send your comments and opinions to DaybreakAfrica at voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is 15 minutes past the hour. It is hard to find a job in Kenya, and even harder with a criminal background. But a group of former prisoners in Nairobi is working to prove there's life after crime. VOA's Gabe Jaslow has the story.
In the Mathare neighborhood of Nairobi, a group of former prisoners have exchanged a life of crime for a life of service. Every day, these ex-convicts take to the streets, collecting trash and doing other odd jobs to give back to a community that receives few public services. It all started with an idea hatched in prison by Festus Indemuli and his fellow inmates while he was serving 6 years for a violent robbery. Reflecting on the mistakes they made as young men, the inmates thought there must be a better way and founded the reformists' organization Crime Kwetusi Poa, or Crime Is Not Good.
When we create all these jobs for these guys, nobody else will think of crime again. Because he has something in his pocket, and he has somewhere that he's staying all the day from morning to the evening. But you see, when he doesn't do anything, just sitting like this, he engages his mind to the crime also. So that's how we tend to stop the crime in the area.
A year since its founding, the organization has more than 200 members. Raising a small amount of cash through their work, members hope to expand operations to provide more services, including security. The community, they say, is mostly supportive. But some, like fruit vendor Stanley Mururi, are a bit skeptical.
We hope from where they have been, they have reformed. That is what we hope.
Some former inmates say their friends and families abandoned them when they went to prison. The organization serves as a kind of support group for those who feel they lost touch with society. Reformist member Moses Bayon says he is ready to make up for lost time.
For some time, like myself, I was there for 6 years. I spent time there. It was no good. So I understand. I wasted most of my time there. I would have made something outside here, you see. But after that, I learned something. And I knew crime is not good.
Kenyan prisoners often receive training while behind bars, earning certificates in skills like plumbing, electrical work, or carpentry. The furniture used by the country's parliament was made in prison. But despite their talents, it is nearly impossible to get a job. Being an ex-con is a tough stigma.
They cannot use that certificate or that grade they got from prison, because when he goes to the camp and somewhere and show the grade, it's also being written there, committee maximum prison.
Until a time comes when it is easier for former prisoners to re-enter society, the reformists will keep picking up small jobs here and there, doing whatever it takes to raise a little money, to give something back to the community, and to commit themselves to prove the belief that everyone deserves a second chance. Gabe Joselo, VOA News, Nairobi.
In Zimbabwe, anxiety levels are increasing within the country's remaining white commercial farming community following new threats from acting President Emmerson Mnangagwa that the government will soon intensify land grabs under its land redistribution program. Mr. Mnangagwa reportedly said the fresh farm seizures will target white farmers, black multiple farm owners, and will reduce farm sizes. Commercial Farmers Union spokesman Hendrik Olivier says the future looks bleak for the few remaining white farmers in Zimbabwe.
It's concerning that we hear these statements, but my assumption is that they would like to conduct a land audit to identify where all the land is and see what land they can then distribute further.
But what is the current situation regarding white commercial farmers?
The situation in the country is that there are still a few white commercial farmers that are farming. They are not farming on the original land holdings. They are farming partially on land that they've been told that they can farm on, smaller sections of the original farm. And that also the current situation as we speak now is in certain areas of the country we are experiencing problems where it would appear people are going around, beneficiaries accompanied by lands officials, and instructing the farmers to vacate within a certain period of time their farms. In other areas, they are also being told that this is the last crop that you will produce and that you must be off, for example, say, by April this year.
So in terms of numbers, do you have an idea how many whites still remain on their farms?
There are most probably very much less than 300 throughout the country of farmers still on their land. And I must stress, Mr. Gondo, this is not their original farm sizes. This is downsized portions of farm, people farming on other farms. This is not their original farm holdings.
Hendrik Olivier is the spokesman for the Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union. He spoke with Chris Gandhi of VOA Zimbabwe Service. It's coming up at 25 minutes past the hour time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. And here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Wednesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we focus on the Orange African Cup of Nations in Equatorial Guinea. Yatara Jr. scored in the first half for Guinea, while Sedou Doumbia leveled the score in the second half as a 10-man Ivory Coast held Guinea to a 1-1 draw in the capital Malabo on Tuesday. Still in Malabo, second-half goals scored by Nations Cup debutants Sambou Yatabare of Mali, then Cameroonian Bitolo Oyongo, resulted in the new-look Cameroonian side holding Mali to a 1-1 draw in the second Group D encounter. Meanwhile, Cameroonian fans are satisfied with the new-look Indomitable Lions start to the Nations Cup campaign. My colleague James Batty spoke to the editor of This Is Sports newspaper, Franklin Bayan, in Yaoundé, Cameroon, who explains.
Cameroon hasn't had a victory, but at least we didn't have a defeat either. So we're content with a draw, especially because the other group members, Guinea and the Ivory Coast, also played a draw, an identical 1-1 draw. So that's for Cameroon, though we hope it would have been better.
Can we say that your team, Cameroon, was lucky because I think they scored the last minute?
Well, it's a lucky escape. You need to be lucky in this game. We didn't have a wonderful day, and we had lost the game, and then we had this kind of last-minute clincher. Yeah, you know that after the World Cup in Brazil, where Cameroon had a very dismal performance, a lot of renewal was done in the team. Old stars like Samuel Eto'o, Makoun, Achiwebo, the top players over the past decade have been shared, and Cameroon has undertaken an exercise to renew the squad. To have this team qualify as brilliantly as it did for the Cup of Nations is something Cameroonians have been very happy about. But then, you know, this country loves football, this country loves victory. And even though the team is so new, we hope that the remaining games of the group stages, Lyon can do better, maybe get a victory against the Ivory Coast and get us into the next stage of the competition. That would be wonderful for Cameroon.
That was Franklin Bayan, the editor. This is Sports Newspaper, speaking in Yaoundé, Cameroon. Finally, Equatorial Guinea play Burkina Faso before Gabon engage Republic of Congo in Group A matches in Bata today, Wednesday. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Here's our listener mail for this Wednesday morning, January 21st.
Hello, Daybreak Africa. This is Ibrahim Omar Abu Karim, welcoming all listeners to an entertaining program like this. I want to take this time and congratulate our APC presidential candidate, General Muhammad Buhari, for paying a visit to Kano and louding out his own solidarity to APC. And as APC member, I want to assure those who believe in change to please use the 14th of February this year to vote for the rightful people. Thank you very much and God bless.